When I lived in El Paso, Texas, as a very small child, I encountered several books, only once, that had a very lasting impression on me. And I remembered the illustrations out of those books, and I didn't see them again for another 24 years. And that was right before I started working at the Athens-Clarke County Library with you. So I had moved back to Athens, Georgia, and was in a bookstore that had used books. And I found this book called So You Shouldn't Waste a Rhinoceros. And I knew, I recognized it just by the spine. It was the story about a little boy who blows a bubble and gets stuck inside. And I had applied for the job at the library, and I was like, you know what? This is how powerful children's literature is, that I still remember these images 24 years later, and I'm going to tell this story at my interview. So that story started when I was 4 years old and segued into me becoming a librarian and sharing that story with you. What are your stories about the power of children's literature?
I came from a reading family. My dad is the one who took us to the library in the 50s in Macon. And of course, now we know what our dad did is he did errands on Saturday morning and he put us all at the public library. I got an English degree here at UGA. And oh my Lord, when I think back, one of these professors, English professors, at my graduation, he basically said to this English major, 1972, you can be a secretary or you can work for a publishing house as a...
Wow. I mean,
this was so sexist. And anyway, I ended up, within a couple of years, getting a full-time job in a public library.
Well, it's interesting that you said about your father being the person in the house who connected you to literature and took you to the libraries. There's this story I tell, which I probably shouldn't, but so my father, when I was in third grade, and I think my brother was in sixth grade, he was reading aloud to us Sherlock Holmes. And of course, Sherlock Holmes smokes a pipe. And so we wanted to know what it was like to smoke a pipe. And so my dad was, you know, being the free spirit that he is, was like, yeah, sure, let's go down to the grocery store. So we went down and we got corncob pipes and tobacco, and we smoked our first pipe. I was in third grade. So because he wanted us to connect to that story and to, you know, to make it more vivid. So how did you get involved in storytelling? Like, I don't know.
It was through the
story.
Library. I was in Portland, Maine, and it turns out the Northeast and Boston was very much the nascent of storytelling in public libraries. I knew nothing. I just did it. And they let me just learn. And this was no book. This is none of this flip the pages. This was learn a story.
Right, which seems is a common misconception in the public that a storyteller is someone who reads a book. That they don't understand that delineation, that a storyteller is someone who gives an oral representation
yes.
of a story without a book.
And
yes.
for me, I don't memorize. Other storytellers do. I don't memorize. But this is the power of what we do. And you and I have heard this for years. I remember one neighbor lady that we had our baby who's now 33. And she said, no, what we do is you get breakfast and a walk and a snack and a story and then lunch and a nap and a walk and a snack and a story and then it's time for you to get picked up. And she knew, and she was right, but story had to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to a child, you sing to a child, you tell stories to a child, you read books to a child. And guess what? They learn how to talk and think and engage, mm-hmm. and their brain develops. But it's just what anybody on the planet knows works.
In my opinion, two of the most honorable jobs you could ever do on the planet is to be a teacher or a children's librarian. And somewhat they're the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. I think we found the right place.